What is a flirt?
A woman who believes it's every man for herself.
Correct. Pay that man $8. Why does a stork stand on one leg?
Because if he lifted the other leg, he'd fall flat on his foot.
Ah, you almost fell. Correct. Pay that man $8.
It pays to be ignorant.
As living proof to all you service men and women listening in to be ignorant, here's another half hour with radio's biggest collection of zanies, the incomparable wits, George Shelton, Lulu McConnell, and Harry McNaughton, our doctor of music, Nat Novick, and the man who sticks his neck out every week at this time, our moderator, Tom Howard.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, once again, we bring you that quiz program that is definite proof that the government hasn't rationed corn yet. We have a board of experts who are so dumb they think a defense plant grows in a flower pot. Here we have our celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled Picking Your Way Through a Crowd Pocket by Pocket, or The Hand is Quicker Than the Eye. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Howard.
I imagine.
Rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. Rub-a-dub-dub, three men in a tub. Robert, my, how unsanitary.
Yes.
It was rather crowded, too, you know.
Fine, Mr. McNaughton. Next, we have a woman who is so sanitary, she uses three toothbrushes. One for each tooth. A woman who dresses to kill and cooks the same way. A woman who was voted by our soldiers in Alaska as Miss Burlap of 1945. Miss Lulu McConnell.
Don't you say anything about my cooking.
No.
I'm a good cook. I cooked my own lunch today.
You did?
Yep, I cooked some cold-boiled ham.
You cooked some cold-boiled ham? How do you cook cold-boiled ham?
Oh, it's easy. You just boil the ham in cold water and let it cool.
Ah, cut it out. Boil the ham in cold water.
Remarkable.
Next we have a man who has really made a name for himself, but being on the radio, we can't use it. A man... A man whose father was a shoemaker, and he was his first heel, Mr. George Shelton.
Hey, you know, Mr. Howard, I met a friend of yours on Broadway today.
You did?
Yeah.
You were talking to him?
Oh, sure. You know, he talked about you for about 5 minutes.
Oh, fine. What did he say?
Shall I leave out the bad words?
Certainly.
He didn't say anything.
I think.
Very good.
Well, there they are, folks. So if you want to take a nap for the next half hour, go right to it while this program is off. Here's the first question. Let's see if we can answer. Now, pay attention.
Yes.
Let us put our best foot forward.
Mr. Howard, which foot is our best foot?
Now, wait a minute. When I said put your best foot forward, I was just using a metaphor.
A metaphor? What's a metaphor?
What's a metaphor? That's to keep cows in. It's a field.
Okay.
I'm smart, I am.
You certainly are.
Yeah.
Let's get on with the question. Now, here it is. Can you tell me the name of the man who said, go west, young man, go west?
Oh, I love the west.
Yeah.
Out west where men are men and women are women.
Yeah.
That's a nice arrangement.
You know, I used to know a girl lived in the west.
Oh, really? What part of the west?
Virginia. West Virginia.
West Virginia.
Beautiful girl. She had western teeth.
Yeah.
Western teeth?
Wide open spaces.
Sheldon, if I had your head, I'd wear it in a split. Now, let's get on with the question. Can you name the man who said, go west, young man, go west? I'll give you a clue here.
Yes.
His first name was Horace. Now, what was his last name?
Scope, Mr. Howard, Scope.
Scope?
Yes, Horace Scope.
Horace Scope.
I knew his sister, Stella Scope. Who was she, a skinny dame?
Finger.
Had three legs.
Ah, cut it out, please. Cut out the puns. The man's name is not Scope. His first name was Horace. Now, what was his second name?
Oh, you mean he had two names?
He had two. Yes, strange as it seems, Mr. McNaughton, he had two names. First name was Horace. Do you know his next name, Miss McConnell?
No, I don't know one Horace from another.
You don't know one Horace.
Did he ever go horseback riding?
Mr. Sheldon, please. You know, Mr. Sheldon, you would make a perfect stranger.
Oh, thank
Look,
you.
This first man's name was Horace. There is a square right here in New York City named after him.
A square what?
A square nothing.
Did you say a square nothing?
I said a square nothing, and I'm not referring to your head. Look, this man... This man I'm speaking of was a newspaper man.
Oh, he was a newspaper man?
Right.
Oh, I used to work for a newspaper in Chicago.
Yeah?
It's called the Chicago Anemia.
The Chicago Anemia? Never heard of it.
Well, he had a very poor circulation.
My old man used to own a newspaper.
So what? I throw one away every morning.
You know, I read in the paper here that why there was a woman out west had six husbands.
Six husbands?
Yeah, ain't that terrible?
What's terrible about it?
Well, that's unfair distribution to essential materials.
I see. Well, don't worry about it, Miss McConnell. Someday your shape will come in. Folks, now let's see if we can get this one. This is going to be rather difficult.
Yeah.
So pay attention. What great American actress is the Ethel Barrymore Theater named for? No help from the audience, please. No help.
Boy, the questions are getting harder and harder.
Yeah, they certainly are.
Hey, Mr. Howard, pardon me. Did you say great American actress?
That's right.
Yeah. Mr. Howard?
Well?
Would it be me?
Look, I said great American actress. She is the first lady of the theater.
Well, I'm an actress.
But you're no lady. Let's get off here.
Well, you just better be careful what you say about me. My old man will come up here and knock all the bumps off your head.
Yeah, I haven't got any bumps on my head.
Well, he put some bumps on, then
knock he'll knock them off. All right, please.
Boy, I bet her old man must be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, he don't take his hat off to anybody.
Well, how does he manage to get his hair cut?
That's quite his head.
You know, I was a tough guy myself in my younger days.
Yeah.
I was a prize fighter.
You were.
Kid Accordion, they call me.
Nice name, you know, Kid Accordion.
Yeah, every time anyone hit him, he folded up.
I want you to understand, my manager said I was his idea of a good fighter.
Yeah, after the first round, they carried out his idea. Now, let's get on.
You're just saying that because it's true.
All right. The question's not about fighting, it's about the theater.
Ah, the theater, yes. I shall never forget the time I was in Hamlet. My great triumph was in the balcony scene, you know, the balcony. I held Juliet in my arms, my lips were aflame, my heart was burning, my soul was afire. So they put me out.
They put you out?
Mm, no smoking in the balcony.
No smoking.
You know,
I've done a lot of work in the theater myself.
You have, really?
Yeah. Remember that show, Strike Me Pink?
Yes.
I was head man in that show. Mm-hmm. And remember Showboat?
Rather.
I was head man in that show. Mm-hmm. And you remember Adam and Eve?
Boy, you all wasn't head man in that show.
All right, Moran and Mac, let's get on here. What great American actress is the Ethel Barrymore Theater named for?
Mr. Howard, tell me, has she a brother named Lionel?
That's right.
Who do I know now has a brother named Lionel?
Lionel, that name sounds familiar to me, too.
Yeah.
Lionel, does he make electric trains, Mr. Howard?
Planes. No, you're on the wrong track. Oh. Now, let's get on here. It's not about Lionel, it's about his sister, Ethel. She was also in that picture, None But the Lonely Heart.
Oh, I saw that picture.
Good. Well, she was Cary Grant's mother. Now, what was her name?
Mrs. Grant.
Mrs. Grant. Mrs. Grant.
Yes, her husband was a general in the Civil War.
Right. How did you know that?
She used to trim his beard.
I did not. I only did his lungs.
Yeah, all right, please. Can we please get back to the theater?
You know, Mr. Howard, I'm going to the theater tomorrow night with my girl. We're going to sit in the orchestra. Sit in the orchestra all by ourselves.
All by yourself?
Yeah, I bought the entire orchestra.
You bought the entire orchestra?
Yeah, you see the sign in front of the theater said entire orchestra, $1.65, so I bought
you
it.
You bought
it.
All right.
The nitwit experts of It Pays to Be Ignorant usually stray a long way from the questions put to them by Tom Howard. So when I asked them, who invests in G.I. bonds, I expected someone to say, I used to know a G.I. But even they knew the answer. Every smart G.I. invests in G.I. bonds because they all know that it's wise to lay aside a little every payday to take care of days ahead when extra dough will really come in handy. So keep it up, men. G.I. bonds today and every payday.
As usual, we have some contestants this evening, so while Mr. Roberts is getting them ready, we bring you, with apologies, Dr. Novick and his orchestra. The only orchestra in the world in which none of the members knows what they're playing. Dr. Novick. Point that Dr. Novick's orchestra carries $20,000 worth of insurance against damage done by flying grapefruit or hand grenade. Who is our first contestant tonight, Mr. Roberts?
Our first contestant tonight, Mr. Howard, is Sergeant Grant P. Donahue of the United States Army Air Forces.
Well, that's great. How do you do, Mr. Donahue, and welcome to our program. How do you feel this evening, sir?
Very fine, Mr. Howard.
Well, that's fine, and we certainly are happy to have you with us. Where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
New York City.
Oh, New York City. Well, you're right at home.
New York City, huh? Well, put me in a greenhouse and call me Gravel Gertie.
Yeah.
I used to work in this town.
Never mind.
Yeah, I was a draft clerk in a bank.
You were a draft clerk in a bank?
Yeah, you used to open and shut the windows.
Ah, very good.
That's nice.
Let's get on here. Pay no attention to them, Mr. Donahue. How long have you been in the service?
4 years, Mr. Howard.
4 years. My goodness, that's quite a long time. 4 years. Congratulations. Then I take it you were in some time before we got into this war. Is that right?
Yes. I served a year and a half with the Royal Air Force.
Oh, you served a year and a half with the Royal Air Force. Well, that's fine. Then you... Great. Then you came over with us. Is that right?
I transferred after Pearl Harbor.
Transferred after Pearl Harbor. I notice you have a decoration there. It's kind of foreign to me. Is that a half of an airplane wing or something?
Oh, that's the half wing of the Royal Air Force, bombardier wing.
Oh, a bombardier wing. I thought probably you flew a half an airplane or something. Well, it certainly is marvelous. Then I might say you have been places and seen things.
A few things.
A few, I imagine. Well, I know you fellows are all very modest about telling us about those things. But congratulations, and we're very, very proud to have you with us, I'm sure. Yes, sir. What did you do before you went into the service?
I was in publicity.
Oh, publicity. I suppose you'll go back to that after the war again.
I hope to.
Well, I hope you have lots of luck and a grand future.
Sergeant Donahue, you know, I worked in a defense plant during the last war.
Okay.
Really?
I inspected rifles.
You inspected rifles?
Yes, you see, I'd look down the barrel of the rifle, then another chap would pull the trigger, do you see? And I'd watch to see if the bullet came out straight, do you see?
And if the bullet didn't come out straight?
Oh, then they just throw the rifle on the pile.
I see. But suppose the bullet did come out straight?
Then they just throw me on a pile.
I see. Well, as I said before, it's a pleasure to have you with us tonight, Sergeant Donahue.
Certainly is. What's your first name, honey?
I don't know.
Hey, cutie pie. Sweetheart, I'm over here.
Yeah, he don't care.
As
far as he's concerned, you could be in a stable someplace.
Well, it kind of looks that way.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk to him because I want to see how cute he looks. Yeah. Can he turn around and let me see?
Will you look at Mr. McConnell and pass out?
Oh, there you are. I knew he would be a cutie pie, all right. Honey, you just call me Sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm just as hard to get as you are.
Yeah. You're just as lumpy. Now, let's... You pick out a question for us, please. When you get a hold of the question, Sergeant, would you kindly read it?
What form of entertainment is presented at the Metropolitan Opera House?
Well, very good question. Did you hear it, gentlemen? What form of entertainment is presented at the Metropolitan Opera House?
Oh, I say, that's a very good question, isn't it, Mr. Howard?
Yes, it is.
You know, I don't know when I've enjoyed a question so much as that.
Well, that's fine. How about the answer?
Oh, I'm sure I'll enjoy that, too, yes.
I see. Miss McNaughton, I'd like to have known you when you had a head.
Thank you.
Look, the question is, what form of entertainment is presented at the Metropolitan Opera House? Miss McConnell, would you know by any chance?
Not by any chance.
I see. Mr. Sheldon, would you know?
Would I know what?
The answer to the question.
I might.
What do you mean, you might? Do you or don't you?
Do I or don't I what?
No, the answer to the question.
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
The question. Gee, where's your dent? What's the matter with you? I just fight you all the time.
Mr. Sheldon, please.
My stomach's clumped.
All right. Remind me to shave you some morning when I'm nervous. Look, the question is about opera.
Oh, opera. Oh, Mr. Hart, I love opera.
All right.
I once sang in opera. I sang The Chocolate Soldier by Hershey.
By Hershey.
Yes. In two movements. Plain and with nuts. It was the nuts.
Yeah.
You should have been barred.
The opera, too.
I see.
Did you ever hear the bubble song?
The bubble song? What opera is that from?
It was a soap opera.
A soap opera.
Yeah, how does it go?
Because I love life. I want. want to live. I love life.
Wait a minute, please. Will you hang it out, please? With a voice like that, you should get life. Now, let's get on.
Now, do you think I'll ever be able to do anything with my voice?
Well, it may come in handy in case of fire. Now, let's get on.
Well, if you want to learn to sing, Lulu, you should vocalize with a mouthful of pebbles.
Oh, I tried that once. Yeah? It broke four windows across the street.
Will you please get your mind off Miss McConnell's tonsils and get back to the question? And I said before, it's about opera.
You know, I wrote an opera yesterday.
You wrote an opera?
Yeah, it's all about a cigarette girl and a soldier falls in love with her. But she throws him over and she falls in love with a bullfighter.
I see. You didn't by any chance call the opera Carmen, did you?
Yeah, how did you know?
Just happens that a guy named Bizet wrote the same opera.
Well, how do you like that? My opera's only a day old,
and,
they steal it.
All right.
You know, I went to an opera last week.
Yeah?
And the orchestra played sort of fortissimo largo.
Uh-huh.
Yes, what does that mean, Mr. Hart?
Well, fortissimo means loud, and largo means broad. Loud and broad.
Now we're back to Miss McConnell again.
This is going to be good.
It's beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I see.
If I had my brushes here, I'd paint.
Does sound beautiful.
Yeah.
What is it?
What is it? They think
it's... Boy, it sends me.
Yeah, it does. I wish it would leave you there.
I
think it's beautiful, Mr. Taylor.
I agree with you, Mr. Howard.
Please. The band is playing William Tell, ladies and gentlemen. Good time to go
playing Richmond in the third race.
There they go. The only band in the country that plays without taking the instruments out of the cases.
Yes, we have, Mr. Howard, and a very lovely and charming young lady this time. Yeoman Third Class, Marcia White of The Wave.
Oh, how do you do, Miss White? How do you do, Miss White? Welcome to a pay speaker. This is indeed a pleasure. How do you feel, Miss White?
Oh, anchors away.
Good. Anchors away. That's well. Well, where's your hometown, would you care to tell us?
Strictly New England. Hanson Falls, New Hampshire.
Hanson Falls, New Hampshire. Strictly New England.
Proud of it.
There's nothing like giving the old hometown a mention.
Say, Mr. Howard, you know, this is quite a coincidence.
Yeah.
Not that I want to steal Mr. Shelton's thunder, but I worked in that town.
I see. Yeah. You worked in that town. All right, I'll stick my neck out. What did you do?
I was a lifeguard in one of those souvenir turtle shops.
That's very interesting.
We don't have turtles in Hanson.
If a turtle would wander too far out into the tank, you see, I'd dive in and save him. Save the turtle.
Wasn't that sticking your neck out?
No. I used to wear a turtleneck sweater.
I would like to talk quite a lot with you, miss, but we're a little pressed for time, so I'm going to ask you, would you just pick out a question out of Dunce Cap for us, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And would you be kind enough to read it right into the microphone?
Thanks, stop laughing, Lois.
Well, don't mind. Just read it. It might be difficult, but read it.
How many shoes are there in a pair?
Very good. How many shoes? Did you get the question, gentlemen? How many shoes are there in a pair?
Well, let's see. Shoes. I said, it reminds me. I've got to get a new pair of shoes.
All right.
My shoes are getting so thin, I can't strike matches on the soles without tearing my socks.
I see.
Hey, you know, I just invented a new kind of a shoe. A reversible shoe.
A reversible shoe?
You mean, Mr. Shelton, you wear them backwards?
No, they're reversible. You can wear them on either foot, the right foot or on the left foot.
You mean that you can wear the right shoe on the left foot?
No, there is no right shoe.
Well, what are they, both left shoes?
No, there is no left shoe.
Oh, what are they, slippers?
Ah, I mean both shoes can be worn on the right foot.
How can you wear two shoes on one foot?
That's impossible.
I mean both shoes fit the right foot.
Where are you going to get to find a man that has two right feet?
Oh, listen, don't you understand? My shoes are made so that the right shoe can go on the left foot and the left shoe can go on the right foot.
Who wants to ball himself up like that? The right foot wouldn't know where the left foot was going.
Oh, no. Don't you see? You can both put both shoes on the left foot or both shoes on the right foot.
That makes four shoes.
How are you going to wear four shoes on 2 feet? What is it, a horse or something?
No, there are only two shoes.
Oh, you mean you put two shoes on one foot? Oh, a person's going to look very silly walking down the street with two shoes on one foot, you know.
Yeah, he'll trip himself.
Now, listen, you dopes. I'm trying to tell you that both feet will fit either shoe.
You mean you can put both feet in one shoe?
Good heavens. Why, you're making a cripple out of the man.
You couldn't walk with 2 feet in one shoe.
Couldn't walk. He couldn't even stand up.
What does he want to put both feet in one shoe for?
He doesn't put both feet in one shoe.
You mean he puts both shoes in one foot?
He doesn't put both shoes in one foot, no.
Certainly not. He puts the left shoe on the right foot and the right foot in the left shoe.
Now, wait a minute. What was the idea of inventing invertible shoes?
So you could put them on in the dark.
Mr. Howard, I'm going to interrupt you a moment.
Yeah, something new has been added.
Go on, Miss McConnell.
Of course, dear. Go right on. Yes, do.
All right, Miss McConnell. Talk, but not long.
Hello, everybody. All you boys over there, I just want to tell you fellows overseas that I've been buying up all the pink ribbon in town, just waiting for those love letters I'd like to get from them. So, honey, just write me, your pen pal, Lula McConnell. It pays to be ignorant. Care of Armed Forces, Radio, Los Angeles, USA. Right soon. Goodbye, honey. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta, Miss McConnell. I second the motion.
For the record, that's all. Be with us again next week and hear it proven again by Tom Howard, Lulu McConnell, George Shelton, and Harry McNaughton that it pays to be ignorant. Speaking. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.